The boil water notice in Haines is lifted, and the Ferry Columbia is stuck in Petersburg after breaking down en route. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Jillian Rogers. Those stories and more up next. Haines' recent water problems seem to be resolved. The boil notice for certain areas is no longer in effect. Water use restrictions are also no longer in place, and the Lily Lake transmission problem that started it all is fixed. KHNS's Emily Files reports.
The boil notice was implemented Monday evening because some areas of town experienced a drop in water pressure that puts it at risk for contamination. Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan says six samples collected from the water lines in question all came back negative for harmful bacteria,
which means that the water is and was safe to drink.
The Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation closed the boil water notice at about 4 p.m. Wednesday. Earlier in the day, the water use restriction that had been in place since Monday was also taken down. Ryan says the municipal water system is filling back up after reaching dangerously low levels earlier this week. The borough's main water source, Lily Lake, was blocked by an airlock in the transmission line.
Lily Lake is actually seems to be improving every day. We're pumping out a lot of water there still, and we're gaining pressure on the transmission line.
The borough used the Crystal Cathedral's well, also known as Wellfield, to supplement while Lily Lake was down. Ryan says they've now shut the well water off.
Some people have been calling because the well-filled water has a taste to it, and so people that aren't used to getting it are noticing a flavor, and that should go away as the Lily Lake system kind of infiltrates the system.
Ryan says after a few days of chaos, everything seems to be running smoothly. He says he appreciates how many people, including those who received boil notices, stayed positive during an inconvenient situation. In Haines, I'm Emily Files.
One of Southeast Alaska's ferries stalled near Petersburg on Wednesday. The southbound Columbia ferry arrived in Petersburg early this morning and was scheduled to depart shortly after, but an unexpected delay left the boat parked in town all day. Alaska Marine Highway System spokesman Jeremy Woodrow says a mechanical issue with the ship's starboard engine required the ferry to remain moored.
It will remain there as long as the AMHS technicians are troubleshooting the situation. We're working on an action plan. We've notified passengers on board and all other passengers that would be on the southbound sailings of the situation.
Woodrow says there will be travel days for passengers scheduled to ride the Columbia anytime this week.
We will be calling passengers when we have a better idea of how long the Columbia will be delayed and what the repair timeline will be.
The department is working on an action plan for getting the Columbia to Ketchikan for repairs. The boat has two engines, but it's unclear whether it could make it through the Wrangell Narrows with only one of them functioning. According to Woodrow, there are alternative transportation options for Columbia passengers, depending on where they're headed, though it would mean sailing on a different day.
So trying to, say, go from Petersburg to Juneau or Wrangell or Cake, the other alternative is the Matanuska, which does sail north at least once a week and south once or twice a week as well.
But for those headed to Bellingham, Washington from Petersburg or Wrangell, Woodrow says right now the Columbia is the only option. Updates may be posted on ferryalaska.com, and a notice will be sent to customers when they have a better idea of the timeline for repairs. The Columbia is one of Alaska's main ferries running routes between Skagway and Bellingham, Washington. The Free Ride World Tour will return to Haines for a third year in 2017. The extreme ski and snowboard competition features elite athletes taking on the slopes around town. The tour brings dozens of athletes, organizers, and media to town for several days in the spring. Haines is the only North American stop on the worldwide tour.
It is really exciting.
Leslie Ross is the tourism director in Haines.
What we have to our benefit is that Haines is world-renowned as one of the top places these skiers and snowboarders want to come. So it's definitely driven by the athletes themselves. They want to compete here.
Because the borough doesn't dole out the same financial support provided by other stops on the tour, Ross says there's always a chance they won't come back. It's not cheap for the whole crew to get here, stay in hotels, and take helicopters to the mountaintops for practice and competition. Ross says organizers spent around $70,000 on helicopter flights alone at the most recent competition and $100,000 the year before, And while most stops on the tour can afford to foot the free ride bill, Haines is not in that position. But the community comes through in other ways.
Well, the borough and the tourism department here, I have a chunk of funding for events, and this is one of them that it's used for. The community kicks in a lot of in-kind. So in-kind is really high, and then I think locally we had donations in the round of about 7,500 last year.
Free ride organizers are still looking for more statewide and regional sponsors to fund their Alaska venture. The revenue from bed and sales tax and the money spent at local restaurants is a big boon for Haines in a less busy time of year. And Ross says the global spotlight cast on the community during the competition is invaluable.
For us, I just think it's great. As someone who markets a town in Alaska, Alaska's the destination. So to be a destination within a destination is pretty hard. And so to be a destination for skiing kind of puts us on the map as a town, not just Alaska.
In 2017, Ross is hoping to include more activities during the week around the actual event, including film showings and school visits by the athletes. She says during a meeting with organizers in the coming days, more details will be ironed out. But the wild and free side of backcountry sports is not without its risks. So far this year, two freeride athletes have died in the backcountry. Swedish skier Matilda Rapoport died this week as a result of injuries after getting caught in an avalanche while filming in Chile. Rapoport finished second in her category at the Haines competition in March. 2016 snowboard champion Estelle Ballet died in April in an avalanche in Switzerland. Tom Winter is the America's manager for the Freeride World Tour. He says the death of Rapoport was a shock, but she died as a result of doing what she loved.
Life is very fragile when you're in a natural environment without boundaries and without safety nets. You know, life is richer, but also there's risk that comes along with that.
Winter says Freeride is looking forward to coming back to the world-class runs that Haines offers, partly because the community is one of the friendliest on the tour. That, coupled with the spectacular conditions, makes the extra investment worth it, he says.
We feel, and I think I speak for all the athletes and everyone else involved in the tour, we feel so blessed when we visit Haines. The warmth of the community and the beauty of the location, it is such a special spot, and the hospitality is unparalleled, and so it's a true blessing to be able to come and visit you guys in Alaska, and I'm really looking forward to it again this year.
With some technical glitches this spring, Winter says organizers will definitely have a plan B next year. The satellite link failed on the day of competition, so there was no live feed of the action, something that many in Haines and around the world look forward to. Winter says they might also be looking at a change of venue, though weather and other challenges will dictate that. Winter says, especially in Alaska, staying flexible is a key to success. Early Monday afternoon, the Alaska State Trooper in Haines noticed a small, seemingly damaged plane on the runway at the Haines airfield. Further investigation revealed that the pilot, Shane Horton of Haines, and passengers were uninjured. Horton was landing a private aircraft when the landing gear buckled, according to a trooper dispatch. The malfunction caused the plane to ground turn and resulted in a wing and prop hitting the ground. Troopers said the Federal Aviation Administration, the National Transportation Safety Board, and the Alaska Department of Transportation were notified as required. The airfield was closed for approximately 1.5 hours while the aircraft was photographed before being removed from the runway. Should Skagway re-engage with White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad to discuss a lease agreement? The Borough Assembly will vote on that question at a meeting Thursday evening. At an earlier special meeting, the Assembly talked in executive session for about an hour before deciding to bring such a resolution forward at its next regular meeting. Members of the public will be able to comment during a public hearing on the resolution. There will also be a public hearing on whether to commit about $760,000 in cruise ship passenger taxes to construction of a new water well. The passenger tax money would be used to repay a state loan funding the project. Since the well is needed because of a demand from cruise ships, the Assembly voted 5-1 at its last meeting to use passenger taxes for the project. Also at its last meeting, the Assembly voted to seek outside help for port planning. A draft request for proposals for a port consultant is on the agenda Thursday. The consultant would help develop the town's short and long-term goals for the port. One important part of the port, the ore terminal, will be the central topic in a potential upcoming meeting with the Alaska Department of Environmental Conservation. DEC has requested an August meeting with the municipality and other ore terminal stakeholders. On a lighter note, the Assembly will consider which slogan it wants to feature on its new website, Gateway to the Klondike or Garden City of Alaska. The meeting is set for 7 p.m. Thursday in Skagway Assembly Chambers. For KHNS News, I'm Jillian Rogers. Thanks for joining us this evening. And as always, thank you for supporting community radio in the Upper Lynn Canal. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org.